Good afternoon. Welcome to the channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. What a week it was. What a week today was. We can sum it up that way as well. We're going to really dive into some of the factors we see influencing what we saw in this grain market this week. Not only the tough issues with wheat, we've got China. Of course, everybody's talking about this March 28th report day. How is that all going to influence over the next 9 trading sessions? We're going to get all the deets with Heather Ramsey. She joins us with the ARC Group. And I think we first just got to talk about what a weird struggle week we had in these grain complex. I don't know other way to describe it at this point.
Yeah, you know, I think my takeaway for the week is that the money that we all love to talk about, the funds, the money, those guys, I think they've changed their tune, their song and dance a little bit on corn. I definitely think they are a little nervous about maybe the setup they have, looking at a wheat bean spread position that they'd had on. I think they're a little bit nervous about that. They've been doing some liquidating there. In general, I think they're starting to realize, oh, hey, we probably can't kick this can down the road much further. You know, we're about to have like really solid and serious numbers. That Brazilian soybean crop is, I want to say, I read earlier today, somewhere between 63-65% harvested. So pretty known. It's about to be a pretty known number. And then we're rolling into like new planting windows for the northern hemisphere. And just the way the winter is gone for both, you know, central U.S. and Black Sea region, the prediction that's out there as far as, you know, upcoming weather, funds are just a little bit unsure if they should continue to maintain these serious shorts they'd had on. So they've done a lot of liquidating over the last couple weeks. And we kind of joked earlier off air, I mean, soybeans, I mean, we just trade both sides of zero every day, it seems like. So they're all over the place. And thankfully, we ended on the high side here today for, you know, corn, beans. Kansas City wheat struggled. Chicago wheat didn't struggle as much as Kansas City wheat, but yeah, it was an interesting session, that's for sure. Funds have been interesting to watch them liquidate their positions. Yeah.
Who would have ever thought, Heather, back on Monday, we would have seen the roller coaster trade action and some of it switching, you know, hour to hour. You know, you'd glance and come back 15, 20 minutes later. It's like, wait a second, that was green, now it's red.
Yeah, I mean, and it's whatever headline is important at the moment, you know, especially, so we could talk about beans probably all day long here. Beans are, I like beans today, Susan. You know, no, I don't know that we can all say that very often, but right. I like beans today. We're above the 20-day moving average. We're above the 50-day moving average. We continue to crush just a monstrous amount of beans in this country. Actually, we put on a new record crush for February, 186.2 million bushels crushed in the month of February, which the last record would have been February of 2020 at 165 million. I mean, that's 19.2 million bushels more. I'm just like, what? You know, like we know this is a thing, but to really see those numbers realize like how big they are, this is just testament to the plants that are coming online. There's still plants to come online. You know, there's a huge one in North Dakota that's not too far off of being ready to go. You know, I mean, the crushing capacity we're going to have in this country by the end of this year is just wild, just phenomenal. And you look at that and you think, okay, so soy stocks ought to be at an all-time high. And they're not. Like, they did grow a little bit month over month, but they're not at all-time records on the soy stocks. So where's it going? Well, you know, obviously you and I know, we read the news, we're paying attention here. We know where it's going. It's going into biofuel production. And that's just, I don't know, I guess for me, it's just such a great place to live in with soybeans and soy crush and going into biofuel and this SAF discussion that's happening. It's just like, we want all of that to continue to play into these discussions. And it's proving that it's got to be a worthwhile deal or we wouldn't be having this background picture look like this. We wouldn't have front end crush being through the roof, soy oil stocks sort of kind of gaining, but not being records. You know, we're obviously using the product, and that's that's a win for the U.S. farmer. And globally, that helps keep a, you know, the best way to say this, it kind of helps keep a lid on this global stocks expansion on soybeans, which is good for all farmers then across the globe. You know, if global stocks start growing and getting out of control, you know, then there's no discussion of where does price go in that case. And it's not the way we want it to go. So this is a good piece of information for us. This is great news. We're also getting ready to go into season where we know we're going to be drawing down off those stocks, even if we do continue to crush record numbers. So yeah, I'm ecstatic. Great news from NOPA today.
Well, of course, you know, you can see all that excitement because, you know, we're a little over a year away from the David City plant opening up. And for once, agriculture can say, hey, we're in front of the eight ball when it comes to exciting things happening in our industry.
Yeah, it's this whole discussion around biofuels is just kind of fantastic. I don't know how else you say it. Reading the data, looking at the information, this year, 2023 has been a great year of kind of exponential growth, up 6% year over year in biofuel production. When you look at that, I mean, obviously a huge portion of that's ethanol, right? But you look at biodiesel and then renewable diesel or renewable biofuels, we're putting in 23 billion gallons per year production. And that number just will continue to grow. We've got all of this support and this kind of momentum around biofuels and the SAF, the standard aviation fuel, the sustainable aviation fuel as well. Like, that's such a big deal.
Well, stick around, folks. We've got a lot more coming up. It's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio.
A best of both worlds product portfolio is one of the aspects to look forward to from the new Channel brand in 2025. Here's Matt McGuire, new Channel dealer from Wisner, Nebraska.
With bringing in Fontenelle and Channel together, I think that our portfolios will also be second to none, especially on the corn side. It'll fill holes for both companies that customers may have seen there before, and I think it's just going to make us really rock solid on the corn side.
For more, contact your local Channel Seed Pro in Nebraska, Kansas, and Colorado.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Our conversation continues with Heather Ramsey with the ARC Group. So you made the comment we could talk about this entire segment just about soybeans alone. So I got to ask you, is bean oil the one we need to watch?
You know, I think longer term it probably is. The tough thing about our market right now is, like, day to day, we're just jockeying around so much. So when you're looking at it day to day, sometimes you're like, Who's the thing? What's the most important, right? But I do think from a demand standpoint, going into the biofuel system, going into just like global soy oil, edible oil needs, you know, that kind of thing. So soy oil is definitely, you know, the market to be watching and paying attention to. We've seen the funds be super willing to jump in and out of soy oil, and or take positions in soy oil in almost the same veracity and same, you know, capacity that they've become accustomed to in corn and soybeans and wheat too. That's kind of what's interesting about the fund discussion is it's almost like when they first get into a market, they sort of just like get their toes wet, get a little comfortable with it. And then all of a sudden they're there to play. They're there to play ball. They're not messing around. We're taking on, you know, tens of 20s of hundreds of thousands of contracts worth of positions, right? So I will say that I think that soy oil is definitely gaining an importance in their portfolio. We're seeing that. We're seeing them trade that regularly. So, it is probably just as important as what we've been watching, you know, historically from a corn and a soybean and a wheat position standpoint. When you look at soy oil, we actually are seeing soybean oil right now above the 20 and above the 50-day moving average again for both of those. You know, they had dipped down. Everything had kind of struggled together as far as commodities go. Everybody had struggled. The end of February was just tough, you know, and everybody then we've seen all commodities really lift and lift each other up as we've moved from, you know, the beginning of the month through where we are today on the 15th. So, and that's, and it's kind of that old saying, you know, like a rising tide floats all boats. Like that's sort of what we've seen, historically with commodities, and where you have, you know, soybeans are a direct input into soybean oil, soybean meal. That's definitely, I would say going to hold true, especially soybean oil. Meal's a little bit of a different story. There's a little bit more limited use on meal. There's, and there's not as much demand for that because we can get meal multiple places, not just the U.S. So that one hasn't been quite the same, you know, shape to the recovery, shape to the charts as maybe what we've seen other places. But yeah, oil is going to continue to be very important. And then now that we're talking about oil as an input into an energy product, right, it becomes more tied in within what's going on in crude and things like that. Just the same as what we kind of initially, when we were learning how does corn ethanol, you know, affect corn pricing, you know, what does that mean? We had to go through an entire kind of learning curve and market curve, so to speak, of figuring out corn, ethanol, crude, how does that all relate? What does it look like? We've done some discovery work on that from a soybean, soy oil standpoint. But adding in these new markets and these new fuel types and these new alternatives is really going to, you know, kind of shape a new picture in that category.
So, Heather, what about wheat? I know that China has done a lot of cancellations, not only to us here in the U.S., but globally. Do you see that weighing and continue to weigh in this trade?
You know, this is what's so funny about these wheat cancellations is I feel like I've read that they're canceled. I've seen that, oh, they're not canceled. They're just replaced and postponed. And then I've read that, no, they're canceled. And then I've read that, no, they're just replaced and, you know, postponed and replaced later on. And so I'm actually struggling to really come up with a good picture of what was truly canceled and what was just postponed for a later date. I feel like, I feel like this always seems to happen at some point in time in the year. Where maybe China's purchased things that were, higher purchase prices. And now we've dropped so low that cancellation and repurchase actually ends up a lower, cost investment for them. And so it's something that they try to take opportunity of. Usually it gets replaced somewhere. It's not just a straight up cancellation with China. They've got a lot of people to feed, a lot of animals to feed. So when they're canceling, it's more of a condition of, okay, they canceled from, you know, let's say France or Australia. Where are they rehoming those bushels to? So we know that that's probably what's happening. We just haven't seen a lot of quality confirmation of that yet for all of those rumored cancellations at this point in time.
What's the best way, Heather, for folks to get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, they can definitely check us out online at agrisconsulting.net. Or give us a holler. Any one of us is always interested in talking to anyone who's got questions. My direct line is 402-484-7474, and I'm extension 125.
All right, that has been today's Channel Final Bell. Quick reminder, the Channel Seed is brought to you by Channel Seed Professionals and your local Channel Seed dealer right here on the Rural Radio Network.